B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest employee benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. And as you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, it is a 10-year anniversary of our FM dial. Not too bad right there. And to celebrate this FM dial, the 10-year anniversary, we have a Fanatic All-Star Day, so we'll be joined by different celebrities from the program itself, from the station itself, throughout the day, and we welcome in a man who is multi-platform, Trey.
Yes.
All right? Bob, he's multi-platform.
No doubt.
Not just radio. He also does TV. A little show called 76ers. Sixers Outsiders on NBC Sports Philadelphia. But you know mostly from the Mike Missinelli program. Producer, on-air talent himself, Mr. Tyrone Johnson. Welcome in, Ty.
Well, you know, it really feels good to be here for the first time. It does feel good to be here. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Glad you're here.
Glad to have you. Welcome to the program. So what are your projects you've been working on? No. But out of the gate, I got to clear up something because there was a big issue on your program that involved me. And it's almost offensive. Okay,
here's the big problem.
Let's just get. And I'll talk to Natalie about this when they join us later. Yeah. Mike as well. So Natalie told a little. So Mike heard the promo of me.
His cousin's a freak.
No. Yes, we did address that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the deal with that?
The deal was
I ratted you guys out. Sorry.
No. So I heard it.
She's into a lot of different things.
All right.
Apparently,
maybe
she's
some
a freak
paddling,
in the bedroom.
A little tickling. I don't know.
So yeah, we're not sure exactly. We're trying to find chains we heard yesterday, something.
Maybe it's a little bondage, huh?
Yeah.
So, as you do Sixers Outsiders, Natalie does, birds outsiders. So I see her, and she's a good friend of mine. I explained to her, you're not going to believe this best man speech I heard over the weekend, and tell her all the horrible things the best man said. And I think the way Natalie conveyed the story to Mike, I think Mike thinks I gave the speech.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Oh, okay.
No one thought you gave
okay.
the speech.
Okay, all right.
But we were wondering what kind of crew you roll with to where that happens. Because none of us have been to a wedding where that happened, even with someone adjacent to us.
Yeah, no, this guy is very adjacent, very adjacent. He's married to one of my younger cousins.
Okay.
That evidently is a freak. And he just announced
She's
that.
Definitely a freak.
But here's the rest of it. He was so drunk.
Yeah.
So they didn't do the speeches before dinner. They did the speeches after dinner.
Oh, why?
I don't know.
Yeah, they're kind of regretting it now.
Oh, well, then, you know, you kind of get what you get at that point.
Exactly.
But he had all these thoughts written down, Ty. This is what's scary about it.
That was all
written. That wasn't off the top of his head.
He was a freestyler.
No.
That was written.
Yeah,
those were bars he had.
Freak is in capital letters.
No, Ty, he reached into his jacket and goes, I'm Will, I'm the best man, and then, like, put down a novel on the table. And, like, Reach pulled out all the notes and typed out, like, four or five pages, put it down, read verbatim, word for word. Yeah. And then he ended with, you know, we tell each other everything, but I never tell you what a freak your sister is in the sack.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now, before I was
multi. That was on page three.
Before I was multi-platform.
Yes.
I did some wedding DJs.
Really?
Yes, I worked for a wedding DJ company.
So you've heard some speeches.
What you're supposed to do there is if it starts to get to that point,
cut the mic.
Well, first off, you're supposed to advise the bride. You can't make the bride and groom change their mind, but you're supposed to advise them and say, hey, this probably isn't a good idea. And the reason you say that is, well, the dance floor will be open, and you don't want people to stop. You're trying to avoid that. And the other thing you do is you have technical difficulties when that happens. All of a sudden, oh, no, the mic. I'm sorry, our batteries went dead.
Okay.
You're not supposed to let him get that whole halfway through that. You're supposed to find a reason that the microphone doesn't work.
I think it just shocked him, though. It was just
no, it can, but you're supposed that can happen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when you work for the companies, you have a plan A, plan B, and the goal is you want the bride to be happy when they go home. I would imagine that would make her less happy.
There was no build up to the hey man, your sister's a freak.
You should kind of know a guy's drunk speaking, so you almost have a stopwatch. If he goes past 2.5 minutes, oh my God.
10 minutes.
Yeah, that can't happen.
No, I agree with
that.
So, okay, good. I'm glad.
I wish you would have gone into detail.
But no one thought it was you.
Okay. All right. Just making
then
sure.
That makes it weird.
What?
You know, if you're talking about how freaky your cousin is.
Yeah, no kidding.
That really makes it weird.
Up here. I'm about that Florida. Not in Florida.
Well, I will say, where these
not in Florida, it was in Baltimore.
Where these particular cousins are from in Maryland, it's I guess it's like the Florida of Maryland.
I'm not trying to get up with all that on us.
Do I have to? Do I even have to?
We
pull
accept
on us?
That freakiness.
You, whenever
no
a freaky,
shame, no what, shame.
Whenever a freaky story gets posted, you're always like, thank God, not Florida.
Well, yeah, sometimes
you fight hurricanes with shotguns.
Yeah, we shot at the hurricanes. Yes,
no problem.
If we did that, we tried to get an alligator drunk. Yeah, that was us.
That's right.
Yeah.
There was the whole bath salt incident.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Eating a homeless guy.
Yeah, that happened.
What about the machete wheelbarrow? That was Florida, wasn't it?
That was definitely Florida, yeah. Somebody came back with a samurai sword. I don't know.
Yes, there was once a game by a guy who used to have a morning show. Adam Carolla, some people know who he
is. Yeah.
Yeah, he used to play a game, Germany or Florida. And the callers would have to guess these crazy stories. People could never tell the difference.
Wow. That's a great bit.
That is a great bit.
Now, Ty, while we have you here, of course, you were down at the Sixers game the other night.
Yes.
This is Florida. You're a big Guangzhou Long Lions fan. You follow their history for a long time.
Love that squad.
So you were down there for the festivities and everything. Were you annoyed at all with the people yelling shoot?
Yes.
Or were you with them in the yelling shoot?
I was annoyed because he was doing other great things
while they
were yelling shoot. Tobias Harris makes a nice back cut. He throws a beautiful pass. They're yelling shoot. He crosses over four guys. Like, boom, gets him. Shoot. It got to the point where it's annoying. He absolutely has a responsibility to shoot. But we have to recognize, like, reality. We can't just all of a sudden think he's coming back like he's Curry. It was any disrespectful situation is when he needs to shoot.
Mm.
And teams will disrespect him.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
When they do, he must shoot. But he's already demonstrated he's not exactly a neophyte at basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So at certain times, you do what's best for the team. And he also said he's learning this thing that Isaiah Thomas talked about in other point guards where, oh, this guy needs a touch. Oh, that guy needs a touch. He knew Embiid was only going to play but so many minutes. So he wanted to make sure he touched it, got to the foul line, and got out of the game. I think he had to fit a lot of stuff in other than just make the crowd happy by shooting. So it was annoying. I think it went too far.
Leading into it, it's annoying, obviously.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, yeah, it'd be nice if he shot one. But he had a baseline jumper. I don't even want to call it a baby hook because it wasn't even that in that game.
Right, but it wasn't a layup.
Right.
He tried the shot. Yes.
But then time winding down in the second quarter, right before halftime, and he gets the shot, lofts it. Goes in, swish. What's Tyrone Johnson doing at that moment?
Now I jumped up and down like it was game 7. I was up on my feet. I'm slapping people. Five.
Yeah.
I was like it was game 7. I went wild.
I missed that. You were sitting right in front of me, too. You were a couple rows down below me. I didn't see your reaction, but that was the reaction of pretty much everybody. Except me.
Bob was like, ho-hum.
Yeah. No, I was laughing at the reaction.
Bob was dipping a chip in nachos.
Yeah, Bob was food.
Here's the thing. I got caught up with the people. I don't,
you're a fan.
Right.
Yeah,
and I don't really get to sit in the stands because of the multi-platform thing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't sat in the stands for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to sit as a fan and just go crazy like a fan. It felt good. And I just hope he can do that again when he gets disrespected.
Because mm-hmm. yeah.
then they don't disrespect him and everybody else is better.
You know what? Watching the shot again last night for the first time I saw it, the opposing guard, not the guard that was covering him, but the guard I think it was on Richardson on for the Sixers, he was waving to the guy covering
back up.
Uh-huh. He was waving him back up. It's funny, Richardson doesn't know that Ben can't shoot a three-pointer, but the people from China do. So he's backing him up. And so Ty's right. If he's going to be disrespected like that, let it fly.
Yeah. China's reading the scouting report going,
This guy can't shoot threes.
Neither can we. What do you know?
Yeah, and when you look back at the Toronto series, and B didn't play up to par, but if you look at the film, he was basically double-teamed almost all the time because whenever Ben Simmons had the ball, his man was sagging off so much
mm-hmm.
that Gasol, what I'm saying is Gasol had help. It wasn't all this, oh, it was man-to-man. Gasol would keep it catchy, and Embiid would have to watch Gasol, who's big and strong, and that guy who was sagging. Don't turn the ball over. Don't do this. Don't do that. If he just will shoot in those chairs where the guy's not guarding him,
mm-hmm.
it makes Embiid better, which then makes the team better, which then makes Tobias better, and all that happens. That's why it was significant. He can't allow himself to be disrespected if you're a great player.
No, absolutely.
And like, I couldn't come in here and turn your microphone off. All right, I'm in here now. Y'all shut this down.
I got this.
That's going too far. And he's allowed himself to be disrespected for 2 years. Hopefully that shot's a sign that he's not going to let it happen for 3 years.
All we want to see happen is his game take the next step. He came into the league so good, so great, was an all-star by year two of him playing, and then all of a sudden we just want to see that little step forward. We had this argument yesterday. Oh, Ben's already great. He doesn't need to do all this other stuff. Well, if I want to see him go from an all-star, a perennial all-star, to a perennial MVP candidate, then yeah, maybe take a step forward.
And Embiid has to take a step, but really, Ben's step should be easier. Mm-hmm. Embiid's thing, like, it's hard to play 82 games in the playoffs as a big man. Like, that's difficult.
Right.
It should not be difficult to shoot. Like, that should be an easier fix than Embiid's fixes, because Embiid's great, and now you're trying to get him to super, superstar. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be that hard to go from I don't shoot at all to I shoot sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Shouldn't be.
You know, Ben Finney, now this partly has to do with the competition. You don't really watch an exhibition game, like I said, to the competition. But he finished really well around the basket there. And that's, Mark, you talked about expanding his game. Fine, take it out to 12 feet. That's all I'm looking for. Shoot that 12-footer. That's great. He's got to do that more, just like Ty said. But he also needs to finish better. There was too many missed layups, too many times that he should have gone hard at the basket where he's stopping and then, going with one hand or the other hand off the 2 feet as opposed to attacking the basket. The other night, and part of it was because competition, but when there was people there, he still went strong to the basket. That's what I want to see more of, too.
I want to see it continue, no doubt about it. Now, we're also going to be joined here on Fanatic All-Star Day by another special guest, Harris Madunyi of the Philadelphia Union. Is sitting out there. He's got his little dupe. You can get your dupe on there, Jamie. I know you're a Union guy, of course.
Yeah, good year for the Union.
We all are. Playoff
time now.
Not only are they a fine football team, a little MLS action there, but they spoil us here at the Fanatic, which is always appreciated. They sent my daughter a nice little onesie.
They did that for
little
my daughter
Tuts,
as well.
Little Tuts got a onesie, got a Union onesie. I'm pretty proud of that.
Nice.
Isn't that nice?
It's very nice.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Wow. When we went out to the game, man, I had a good time.
I actually, I don't want to brag or anything, but I may or may not have scored a goal on the pitch on Union Media Day.
About
that. And it wasn't a friendly either. I played for keeps. Sam Wilson, go to give me an update on our Twitter poll real quick here before we hit the update, please. We're talking about, did you hear this cut yet from Doug Peterson on Sidney Jones?
Yes.
He absolutely called him out.
I thought so. He's got to push through. I thought he was calling
him
out. Thought he was calling him out.
Yeah, that would sound like suck it up.
We'll play that in a little bit here. But Sam, what are we looking at so far on our Twitter poll?
This morning we asked, are you confident Sidney Jones will ever reach his full potential? We have just under 1,000 votes so far, and it's remained the same. 88% say no.
88%? It's going to be the highest one we've had in quite some time.
I'm going to know.
Ty's in here right now. Natalie's going to join us in the 8, 9 o'clock hour, as well as Andrew Salchunas. Rob Motti will join us a little bit later. Joe Stazak, Mike Missanelli in studio at 9 o'clock with Jason Martinez as well here on Fanatic All-Star Day. Coming up, we'll let you hear yet again from Sidney Jones and the Union stop by, ladies and gentlemen. Time at the Fanatic 712.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Over the next 20 minutes here in this segment, we're going to get to Sidney Jones, what Doug Peterson had to say about him yesterday. A perfect example of a coach calling out a player. Also, how could we have a Thursday at 7:30 without some trench talk with our friend Trey Thomas?
Oh, yeah.
We will get to that at 7:30 today. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, the Philadelphia Union will host a playoff rally at Xfinity Live on Thursday, October 10th. That's tonight, 7 o'clock, in celebration of the 2019 Audi MLS Cup playoffs coming to Philadelphia. In studio with us right now from the Philadelphia Union, please welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, Harris Madunyan. Did I nail it?
Thank you, guys.
You know what? I love like ethnic names, my friend. Uh-huh. Okay, and when it comes to Eastern Europe, all that stuff, I always, I'm terrible, but I'm proud that I did. Okay,
you did it good.
I did all right.
You did good.
No, you're from
Bosnia,
but you grew up
in Holland. Yes.
In Amsterdam.
Where?
Amsterdam.
Oh, talk to me. Yeah.
No.
No. It's just you and me talking. No, I know. No, it is beautiful. It's absolutely. I've been there. It's absolutely incredible. It's gorgeous. But what's it like? I'm always curious, especially in the soccer world, the football world. Yeah. You guys coming here to the United States to play in the MLS and then play in a city like Philadelphia. What's that like for you?
No, it's nice. It's a little bit different than Europe. You know, I think it's less pressure than Europe. You know, soccer. You know, here because. I think you guys have here the basketball, American football, there's more pressure, you know, so sometimes I think, you know, it should be more pressure, you know, so I think we will be much better, you know.
Well, you don't seem to crack under pressure. How many assists do you have? You're leading your squad, right?
Yeah, I think 10 assists, yeah.
Oh, not too bad. Look at this guy being humble over here.
Not too much.
Now, I've interviewed your coach, Jim Kirtner, on a number of occasions, and he does that. He seems like he couldn't be a better guy.
No.
He's also from our area.
Yeah.
Does he stress to you guys, you know, the importance of what it's like to play in front of people like Philadelphians?
No. When I meet the coach for the first time, it was already a click, you know, in the beginning, you know, because I think he's one of the coaches in the United States that he's, like, tactically very good. He understands the game, you know, very good, you know. So for me, it was easy to connect with him, you know. So we only talk about soccer and, you know, how we can get better, you know, to help the younger kids, you know, who's playing in the union. So, it's always a pleasure to talk with him, you know, to help him, and he's helping me a lot this three seasons I'm here, you know.
You don't excel just in the soccer world, from what I understand. You're also one heck of a table tennis player and billiards, a little pool player. Oh, no, word gets around. Word gets around, Harris.
I know, because when I arrived in Chester for the first time where we trained, you know, and they had, like, a ping pong table, you know, so I said, like, just give me a couple of weeks and I beat everybody at the They didn't believe me, but after that, you know, it was easy for me. Even with my left hand, right hand, it doesn't matter, you know. So.
Wow, that's some confidence right there.
No, you know, when you have confidence, you need to also show it, you know, like you cannot, you know, like come there and then lose, you know. So I know how it is in the United States, you know, you need to come with confidence. So a little bit trash talk, right?
Can you talk to some of our Eagles wide receivers? They need some confidence at times here.
Man, they're good, you know. Sometimes happen, you know, bad games, so it's no problem.
Harris, you talk about the difference of soccer here, the pressure over in Europe and not maybe as much here. What are the fans, how are the fans maybe different? Different from here over there?
It's like the fans over here, I think they're polite, you know, in the soccer world, they're polite. You know, where I played for 4 years in Israel, you know.
Okay.
And there was like, when you lose a game, you know, they wait for you after the game, you know, outside the stadium. Yeah, sometimes you need to go out with the police, you know, like police escorts, you know. This, you know, it's a different kind of pressure, you know, different kind of
Philly violence, fans are polite compared to other fans.
When I see
soccer
the Eagles fans, I went to saw a couple of Eagles, but there was also a little bit crazy. But I think it's nice, you know, for every soccer player, you know, like to have a little bit pressure, you know, so that's always good, you know, to keep you always awake, you know, and... you know, you need to deliver, you know, every game, you know. So that's most important, you know, in professional sports.
Well, you know, that pressure thing, you guys making the playoffs this year. Yeah. Now, next year, there's going to be that pressure.
Yeah,
we're not going to be okay with you guys not making the playoffs next year.
Exactly.
So you might start getting what's going on with that? What you doing?
Exactly. That's how it should be, you know. I always put the step, you know, every step, every year, you know. So that's how it should be, you know. And that's why I'm talking with the younger guys, you know. It's not only good... one game, you need to be like consistent the whole season, you know. That's the main thing in soccer, you know, to be like consistent and to play every game on a high level, you know. It's not only one game and then after, like, oh, let me take 10 games break, you know, and then it's already finished, you know. So
Harris, next Saturday you guys take on the New York Red Bulls in the playoffs. Huge game. Has it been conveyed to you how much Philadelphians hate New York teams?
Yeah, I know. This like
rivalry
over here, you know, like, so, you know, it's nice, you know, to have, you know, like what we talk about, like pressure. That's also like some game, you know, that like is under pressure. So we know that we need to win, you know, especially like, you know, like we made the home playoff game, you know, so hopefully it will be like packed, you know, as always, you know, and hopefully we can win the game and go through the next round, you know.
Yeah, a little extra motivation. They beat you a couple weeks ago, 2-0. Exactly. So you know, revenge is a dish best served cold, as they say.
Yeah. No, I hope we're going to be ready. You know, we should be ready. And, you know, you play home, so at home, you know, we can beat anybody, you know. So we should have that confidence.
The Sons of Ben will be ready for you, that's
for
sure.
Yeah, I know. They're always ready and loud, you know. So I hope they will show up on October 20th, you know. So
Harris, will you be there tonight at the rally?
Yeah,
7 o'clock tonight. Xfinity Live. You'll be there. Why do I got to wait 10 days for you guys to play this playoff game against the Red Bulls?
I don't even know. You know, that's the rules over here. You know, like so, it's international break. You know, for the that's why. You know, so a lot of teams playing in for their country. You know, so a lot of guys are playing for their country. So you know, that's why.
Well, Harris, we really appreciate you coming in and spreading the word about the union. Yeah. Good luck in a couple of days now. It's 11 days to the playoff game, yeah. But have fun tonight at the pep rally. I know a lot of fans, Sons of Ben, all the guys will be out there. My cousin is a very loyal Sons of Ben. He's always telling me how great you guys are. And whenever I go down there to Talon Energy Stadium and get to talk to Coach, just says nothing but great things about the squad. You guys have done a lot this year. Hopefully you guys keep that going against the Red Bulls in the playoffs.
Thank you guys.
Thank you, Harris Madunian. Of course, of the Philadelphia Union. Yeah, go kick New York's ass.
Yeah, of course.
All right,
explain it simple.
Make them the sugar-free Red Bulls. There we go. Harris, thanks for coming in, man. Appreciate
thank you guys. All the best.
Thank you. That's a man who puts in work. All right, we need people to put in more work. And one of the things that we're talking about, we've been talking about so far in the first hour and a half of the program, has been whether or not Doug Peterson is calling out his player. Now, you were talking about it a second ago, Trey, saying that a guy like Doug Peterson doesn't just call out anybody. He is a lot like Andy Reid in that regard. But I can't take it any other way. We have this for you from yesterday's press conference. Doug Peterson, when he was asked about Sidney Jones and the recurring hamstring injuries, anything that can happen to help a guy like Sidney Jones, I don't know, not have as many injuries, something where he maybe will be able to stay out there on the field a little bit. Here's Doug Peterson when asked about the regularity of Sidney Jones' hamstring.
Well, I think sometimes with an injury, well, I don't care what type of injury, you get to that point where through your rehab and conditioning, you've got to push yourself, you know. And you got to bust through and say, okay, I feel good, you know, and I still might be a little sore, but I feel good. And so that's kind of what I mean by that, just kind of that threshold where you kind of break through the glass and you're on the other side of it. And then once you get to that point, you know, all the mental stuff goes away and now you can just focus on ball again.
So in short, suck it up.
Ty, you getting the same vibe?
Same vibe. And is he afraid to fail? Because I wonder if he thinks I have to be so healthy and so 100% because I've been getting burnt a lot. And he has this fear. And I don't think you can play football like that, can you?
To me, it seems like the injury comes after he gets burnt.
There you go.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you get beat and then it's like, oh, something hurts. You know, come on, you can't be like that. You have to take every win and loss in stride in this game, you know, because I mean everybody's gonna get their ass kicked at some point in this game. But you can't be the type of person that when you get beat, you always end up hurt.
I also think this is a little bit of a setup by Doug for what I said earlier. You're getting guys back from injury. I think Sidney Jones is going to get pushed aside. I think this is Doug already leading up to this is why he's going to get pushed aside.
Mills comes back. Oh, hey, we know we had to get he's a veteran, blah, blah, blah. They trade for a guy. All of a sudden, he's deactivated.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like he's headed.
Yeah.
And who are we playing? Who are the Eagles playing on Sunday? A team that can throw the ball a little bit. A team that has two very good wide receivers. I went back to yesterday and watched some of the game from last year against the Vikings.
Yeah.
Everything was a double move. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, that's all they were throwing in the direction of the Eagles, the D-backs at that time. And it was Jalen Mills last year. It was Sidney Jones. I believe it was Avante Maddox was in there as well. And then it was also Ronald Darby. Everything was like a double move. That's what they were running on those routes. And they continuously got open. Now you're going into their stadium, and you're going to try to, what, you're going to try to stop that after they just look like they got things going? And granted, it was against the Giants. It was still on the road against the Giants, and their offense had been struggling. If we talk about the Eagles riding the ship, that means, another team can't do that? So now is the time where you look at your defensive backs and you say, rise to the occasion. This is a big test for you. And for a guy like Sidney Jones, this could be the last test for him, considering all these other guys could be coming back.
Yeah, and it's so disappointing because corners and I think wide receivers to a point have to be a little bit nuts because they're on that island.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get beat, so what? You have to almost like in wrestling, they always say like the good bad guys, the heels, after they lost, they would tell you they won because their minds have to be, yeah, I lost, doesn't matter. I think you almost have to be like that when you play corner, and he doesn't seem to have any of that. He gets beat, and it's like he gets beat 25 times rather than once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's almost like it sticks with him. And Howie gets a lot of praise. When you talk to a guy, don't you have to figure that out? don't you have to find a corner that's a little nuts? Because Mills is a little bit nuts.
Yes.
And you won a Super Bowl with him being nuts.
He's very good. Yeah.
This guy doesn't seem like he has any of that. Like, if he gets beat once, he, like, hangs his head. He doesn't have any of that. Nah, I beat that play. What happened was the quarterback just, hey, that was a good throw. I was right there.
Mills has amnesia. He forgets right about it, and he's right back battling.
They clap when guys drop the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, my pressure's why they dropped it in their minds. Yeah. Why doesn't he have any of that seems like all the other good corners have?
Well, on that exact note, when I was watching this game again yesterday, remember, this is the game with the Vikings last year that Jalen Mills was getting beat like a drum and then broke up one play at the goal line and started flexing and then got in a little jawing match with Adam Thielen, and Fletcher Cox came over and pushed him away and go, what the hell are you doing? And then Mills pushed Fletcher Cox back.
Yeah.
That happened last year when they played the Vikings.
That's what I'm saying. I like Mills' aggression and how he approaches the game. Sometimes his game level is on rookie, but his swag is on all Madden. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just needed the match. You know what I'm saying? He's just ridiculous. That's what I like about him, just his aggression and how he approaches the game.
Tyrone Johnson's in here for Fanatic All-Star Day as we celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Fanatic being an FM sports station. And Ty, you're about to witness a little treat here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
This is live and in person and on Twitch for, what is this now, the second time we can do this?
Yeah, second time. Yeah.
Second time now for our Twitch.tv audience for 97.5 The Fanatic. You're going to witness, and Ty, you're included in this, a little trash talk with Trey Thomas.
All right, so here we go. We're talking about the Minnesota Fighting Vikings offense. All right, now, first thing that we got to just look at, first of all, is that these guys, man, this is this is going to be a challenge. Their rushing offense right now is third in the league right now. They're giving averaging 5.0 yards a carry, 166 yards a game. The longest rush was 75 yards. They've had 8 touchdowns. Now, that's going against our rushing defense that's first in the NFL, only giving up 3.2 yards per carry, 63 yards a game, and their 44 yards is their longest one, and they've only given up 3 touchdowns. This is going to be a challenge going up against this group. I'm going to get into it a little bit more. I'm going to give you a couple more numbers. The passing offense, they've been slacking a little bit. You know, Cousins has been struggling, trying to figure it out, get to his receivers. It's only thrown 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Only thrown 5 touchdowns. That's pretty good. 2 interceptions. He's been sacked 11 times. Now, going up against our defense, you know what the longest pass play that we've given up is, the amount of yards it was?
Was it the touchdown to the Redskins?
I don't even know which one it was. I'm just saying the longest yards that we've given up in the past.
I'll say 55.
69 yards.
Was the longest. Yes.
My goodness.
69 yards.
I can forgive that.
Yes. Epic fail.
It's okay. We've given up 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 13 sacks. Now, when you look at this offensive line, man, this group is going to be a challenge. You know, they've run the ball extremely well. When you have my man from Florida State, Dalvin Cook, back there toting that thing, man, I mean, he is dangerous. When you look at this offensive line, one of the things that they do really well is they work combination blocks up to the second level. And also, too, you're going to see something that you don't see as much in the NFL anymore. You're going to see guys actually cut. One of the things that they do really well, they get in there, they cut the 3 techniques. They get up to the second level. They cut the linebackers. You don't even see, when is the last time you've seen the Eagles offensive line cut anybody?
I have not seen that.
Okay, so that's one of those things that's kind of faded a little bit, but Minnesota, they do that. That's why you go back and you look at, here's just a little game log of these guys. They played against Atlanta at home. They only gave up 1 sack, only 3 quarterback hits, 172 yards on the ground, and only had 4 tackles for a loss. You go to Green Bay. Now, they lost in Green Bay, but they had 198 yards, only 3 tackles for a loss. They only gave up 1 sack and only 5 quarterback hits. They went to the Raiders. They played at home against the Raiders. 0 sacks, only 3 quarterback hits. They rushed for 211 yards. And, oh, yeah, they only had 1 tackle for a loss. This offensive line is nasty, man. So here we go. They go to Chicago. 6 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, 40 yards rushing, 8 tackles for a loss. If you're going to go and study how to beat the Vikings, you need to go and watch how Chicago attacked them. This is what you need to do. Their game plan. Butt cheek tight coverage and getting after it and hogging up holes and bottling up Cooks. Also, too, you go to New York. They had 3 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, rushed for 211 yards, and they still had 9.5. I still don't know how we get that half in there.
No,
9.5 tackles for a loss. So, I mean, you know, this is a group that you're going to have to get out there and challenge. Now, the good thing that's going to be a challenge about this team is that they have not lost at home. You know, these games, the games that they lost so far have been on the road. It's totally different. Now, the way that you can attack this group, the tackles are punchers. So you want to design your rush to attack a punching tackle. So that means that you're going to have double hand swipes. You want to come in with a stab and clean. You want moves that are going to counteract a punch. A bull rush against a punch, eh, it's not as effective. It's a bull rush against a grabber is extremely effective. When you're dealing with punchers, you want to come in double hand swipes, anything to kind of clean those hands, swim moves, but you want to time it. Also, the guards are the same. They do a lot of that, you know, punching as well. So this is something that I think that we can get after these guys. But now, here's the challenge that the two games that they did lose against, those guys played five down fronts. So you put five down, you spread out the offensive line, you got push on the center, and then there you go. That's where you start creating and affecting the run game. We're not a five down front. We're a four down. So, you know, this is going to be a challenge. We're going to need Fletcher Cox to have to come up big. Our defensive line is going to have to show up big in this game because you're going to have, and also, too, you're going to have aggressive linebacker play because now when you're dealing with Cook, you're going to need those guys to come downhill, fill those gaps, and make a big play.
All right. Now, when it comes to this offensive line, guys like Isaac Seumalo, for instance, who has struggled so far this year, he's had a spotty season, we'll call it. Can he bounce back against a defensive line like this?
With Isaac against their defensive line? Yes, he can.
He can. But are you confident
going off
he
of
will?
What he did last week, he took a couple steps back last mm-hmm. week.
Spotty, you know, yes.
Where he
played well against Green Bay.
Back, yeah, played well against Green Bay. But this last week, he started setting back a little too far, which created push from the three technique. And then now that creates a problem where if you get any delay ETEs, where if the tackle is going and then now the end comes around, then now that means that Jason Peters cannot come back clean to take over that defensive end. So now they get picked apart.
You mentioned something along those lines yesterday, and I wanted to ask you about it, because if somebody from the offensive line is giving more space between them when they're dropping back a little further, does that mean that they feel like they're not prepared and they want to make sure they have that little extra cushion to react?
No, it's just that you're not doing the tight. Anyway, when you're playing guard, the whole point of it, you can't set back. At guard, you mm-hmm. can't set back
right.
because you're in charge of the depth of the pocket. You have to set at a 45. So if he's setting back, that's got to be a mental lapse. That's mm-hmm. something that Coach Stout should be on him like, hey, you can't set back because now if we get any gains, we're done. You know, so that's one of the things I looked at. And also, too, when it comes to just our offensive side of the ball, we had to work those combination blocks. Work those combination blocks because this is going to be an aggressive defensive line.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a little thing we like to call trench talk. What, Trey Thomas?
Yeah! Yeah, I enjoyed that.
So who has the advantage, Minnesota's offense or the Eagles' defense?
With this being a home game for them, they haven't lost at home yet.
Hmm. The Eagles' defense is number one against the run.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. number one against the run.
Number against the run.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that if they step up and do what they did, that what they've done so far, now the question is, can the secondary do?
That's the question. All right, is the secondary going to be out? Because they're going to have to take the same approach that they did as Green Bay. You can't give up all that cushion. You're going to have to get out there and be aggressive on the receivers. You're going to need butt cheek tight coverage. That's real.
I believe that will be a play call.
That's tight coverage.
All right, now coming up, we'll let you hear from Fletcher Cox about what's going to happen in this in the trenches a little bit further. We'll hear from Fletcher Cox on that, what he said in the locker room yesterday. And then, Ty, we will ask where we're going to plan this parade for not only Carter Hart's shutout, but also Ben Simmons being a three-point threat. That's what we'll get to.
I can't wait.
Time of the Fanatic, 741.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And as part of All-Star Day, Tyrone Johnson in studio with us right now. That's fun, Ty. It's been good talking with you over this last hour.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. I'm sad it's only 10 minutes left.
It's ridiculous.
You know the first time Ty and I ever ran into each other?
I don't.
I coached against him.
You coached against him?
Yeah, he was coaching.
Oh, you told me about that.
I coached at Camden Catholic, and Ty was playing for our Pensauken High School.
You told me about that. You're like, hey, you told your kid to go over there and like give that Ty guy a cheap shot.
Yeah, he's like, sweep the leg of that Johnson kid.
Put him in a body bag.
No, we were good that year. We were good then. We beat Camden Catholic.
We got, and we also invited
Jerry Speck.
Who
rarely say that. Yeah, exactly.
We beat Camden Catholic.
By the way, just for people that are curious, we also invited an entire construction crew to All-Star Day.
I just called Donna and I said, can you hear it when you're listening? She said she can't, so we're good.
Did you call Donna?
Donna.
Did you call Donna?
She asked me how my plums were. I didn't know what that meant.
Did you show her that clip yet?
I didn't. I can't.
She really need to, so she stops thinking we're so weird.
Does she had the house.
I don't think that'll stop it.
Yeah, that's nice steamy.
It'll only further the evidence of us
set
being
the thermostat to 84 degrees.
Thermostat to 84
Donna
degrees.
Donna did not like it.
Now, we got the Twitch thing going, right?
And yes, sir.
Why is that studio allowed to be so dark?
That one?
Jamie's studio?
Ty, every morning he comes in here for our 5 a.m. show, and he starts dimming the... It's like we're on a date every day. He starts dimming the lights.
You know, I don't know what's going on here.
I like it dark.
All right, this is supposed to be an office. We're a place of business.
Exactly.
You don't do business in the dark.
Yeah,
you handle business in the dark. You don't do business in the dark.
You know, it's kind of bright in here, too. Why do we... What's with all the lighting in
here? They can see us.
We usually have it a little dimmer.
I honestly, this is as bright as I know the studio to get.
I like it like this.
I've never seen it any brighter.
I like it like this.
Except
I don't like light.
I like how it used to be. I mean, we used to have it a little dimmer.
Dimmer?
Yeah. This is bright right now. We have on every light.
Well, it's a good day. It's time for brightness.
Exactly.
The Eagles are going to win on Sunday.
Oh, there
the
you go.
The Flyers are undefeated.
Optimism.
The Sixers, come on. Let's have some optimism. All this darkness hanging over the city, I don't like it.
All right. Well, I will say this. Okay. I see the studio brighter during the Mike Missinelli program because you guys have the TV lights on in here.
Yeah. Well, it's just these lights, but just turned all the way up. Oh. They're not all the way up.
Oh. Okay.
It's these lights turn. They go way brighter.
Still learning the studio after a year of doing this program.
That's all right.
Natalie will be joining us in the 9 o'clock, excuse me, in the 8 o'clock hour, as will Andrew Salchunas. So we look forward to that. Now, we
teach. The Chunas,
as I understand he's referred to. How much more time till he's married?
It's the Dolphins weekend. So the weekend after Thanksgiving.
The weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We're getting wild in Miami.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
7 weeks and 2 days.
Oh, look at him.
So that's 51 days.
Oh, okay. Good.
Huh.
Yeah.
Nice. Wow. Quick math.
All right, that's good.
Yeah. He had a good math teacher at Pennsylvania.
That's awesome.
See, I bring some things to the table, mostly math.
Well, we teased this earlier. Fletcher Cox was in the locker room yesterday, and Ty, you had mentioned the best run defense in the NFL.
Yes.
Eagles right there. Going into the Jets game, worst pass defense in the NFL. Go figure. So their run defense is going to have to be on point against a guy like Dalvin Cook, and Fletcher Cox was talking yesterday about the fact that they know what a test this Vikings game is going to be.
These next 4 weeks is basically going to define this team. It's going to define this locker room. You know, there's a time where, you know, we always come together and we know what we got ahead of us. Right now, the main thing is to focus on the game on Sunday and see where we at.
So focus on the Vikings. They know the test.
Fletcher's interview voice trips me out, man.
Well, see, it's funny you bring that up. Because
that's funny.
Yeah. The interview happens.
Uh-huh.
And usually what happens is he's just like answering the questions straight face and all that stuff. And then like he'll chime in on Brandon Graham's media session.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be all goofy and silly and stand in the back room and like put a bottle of like hairspray or whatever in the back, or, you know, bottle of shampoo, whatever. And then, like, he'll be goofy then. And then I come around with my goofball questions that I do with the off-the-beaten-path type questions for NBC. And then he's just right back to his normal self.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm asking him about road trips. And he's like, yeah, I can't talk about my road trips.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, goo.
What does that mean?
I'm like, but please tell. And he's like, no, you don't understand. I can't tell. And I'm like, all right, there, Fletcher.
No snitching.
No snitching.
Then you ask him about the game. Like, well, you know, it says we're going to go out there. We're going to rush the quarterback. And we're going to do good. And we're going to try to stop the run.
Who the hell is this? I don't know. It sounded like Dave Chappelle's newsman, news anchor voice.
You're on Third Street.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Move it. Move it.
Who did I see on the corner? It was the baby selling drugs. All right. So we'll dissect Fletcher's words in a little bit here. But Ty, where do you go for the parade here for the Ben Simmons 3-pointer? Where does that happen? Where do we start?
No, we can't.
Is it just around the sports complex?
It's only a 27-foot parade.
We got action here in the center.
Yeah, we go over to Xfinity Live.
Oh, okay.
You mark a white line.
Okay.
Everybody stands on the side. He goes down 27 feet. He shakes everybody's hands, whoever can fit in that. And then goes home.
I like that.
I like
that.
That's a little good.
That's a nice little receiving line. You guys are going to have... Oh, go ahead. Yeah, someone on Ben?
No.
I was going to ask you. You guys have Matisse Thybulle on
this
afternoon.
Yes, 2:30. I believe he's going to be Rocco with the ability to finish around the rim.
No.
Get out.
Whoa, Ty. Jeez. Easy
I
with
like
the
this
hot
kid
takes.
A lot.
No.
He can make layups?
Yeah. No, he can. No, if he's... Think about what the team missed an element in the playoffs and that they weren't disruptive on defense. They were sound, but they weren't disruptive. Not a lot of easy baskets. This kid, I think, will create easy baskets, but on a break because... He's long and athletic and comfortable. He'll finish around the rim, something Rocco never could do, and it drove him crazy.
Yeah, it's wild to listen to a guy like Matisse Thybulle and then also listen to a guy like Josh Richardson talk about a defense-first type of mentality and how aggressive they're going to be on defense. And look, they know how much that resonates with the Philadelphia fan base, blue collar, all that stuff, right? But then with that ability to put up some points, oh, yeah. I think it's going to be a quick love fest for Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a favorite for a while in this city, but I really do think from minute number one, he's going to actually contribute. And it's been a while since one of those later picks, you know, TLC types and all those. It'll be nice to have a later pick actually play for them right away. And he's going to.
Well, I'm going to ask everybody this that comes in this studio. And I know you got a minute or two left here. And plenty of champagne. Our friend Natalie, your colleague, is coming in as well with some orange juice for some mimosas.
But this champagne is brought to us by Roger Wilco.
That's right. You're damn right they are.
Isn't that Roger Wilco Pensalkin?
Yes, it is.
Right
Roger
by Pensalkin High School.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, special thanks to Roger Wilco for supplying us a couple of cases of champagne. Find one of the largest varieties of beer, wine, and spirit stores in New Jersey and your one-shop party, one-stop party headquarters for all your favorite adult beverages. Special thanks to all the wonderful people as well of Corpley's Bakery for making a delicious 10th anniversary cake for us, which will be here a little bit later today. But Ty, I am going to ask everybody this question that's in with us today on Fanatic All-Star Day, celebrating 10 years on the FM dial. How does it end with the Phillies and Gabe Kapler?
I actually think he's back because I think they're just looking for an excuse to have him back. And what they'll do is when you wait like this, other teams, even if they're not talking about it because they don't want to step on the playoffs, they have their guys. And what they'll say is none of the guys available were an upgrade. Because by stalling, you didn't interview this person. You know, Matt is already gone. He's going to be with the Angels. They're waiting to announce it because they don't like having news during the playoffs.
Right.
And then the Cubs' job, they'll get Girardi. And then this guy will get hired and they'll go, you know, Gabe was just the best available. I hate it, but that's what I think is going
to
happen.
I think we all tend to agree with you on this one. The fact that it's taken this long. And the only other option that I think is plausible at this point is Buck Showalter, who does not impress me in the least bit.
I know you call, what'd you call him, Schottenheimer?
He's the Jeff Fisher of managers.
Yeah, he's still better than Gabe.
Not by much, I don't think. I mean, he's got a proven track record of a guy to make your team competitive. But 20 years as an MLB manager, never a World Series win, 390 win seasons in 20 years. He is Mr. Mediocre.
Yes, but he won't get on my nerves after this.
And here's the other uplifting part. He would actually help your front office run things as opposed to the front office dictating what happens.
That would be refreshing because I don't need the GM filling out the lineup card.
I'm with you.
I don't need that. I would prefer if that didn't happen.
A partnership. Brett Brown said
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.